Good morning to you all on this last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Only the last great day remains. Hasn't the time passed by so swiftly? Well, we certainly have had a wonderful feast here this year in the Ben-Redmond area. And I think we owe a big thanks to all who have made it possible, but especially to God our Father in heaven and to our elder brother Jesus the Christ. The title of my sermonette is The Last Lesson. It concerns a personal event in my life that touched me very deeply, and I thought I would share it with you today. It's a lesson I needed to learn, and one I had not been aware of until just recently. As all of you who are getting up in years are well aware, this life we live as human beings passes by all too quickly. It is as the Apostle James said in James, the 4th chapter and verse 14, your life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And King David of ancient Israel likened his days on this earth in Psalm 39 and verse 5 to a hand's breadth, or as short as the width of the palm of your hand. I think these are surely very apt descriptions of how swiftly this life passes. When we start out as babes in life and then as young children, it seems that this life will extend forever. And as we live the days of our lives, growing up, going to school, developing a career, having a family, we fill those days with certain necessary activities. Activities which will provide a suitable income, acceptable housing, a stable family environment, and the physical things that we need and that we want in life. Things which we all want, things which we all look for, things which are good for us, to be sure, things that all human beings seek and work for in this life. And we today here are no different. We also seek them. But we, of course, in God's church have another goal that supersedes and transcends these physical goals, and that is a spiritual goal, one of developing through the power of God's Holy Spirit righteous character, and someday becoming a member of God's Spirit family. But right now we have to live this physical life, and we have to deal with these physical goals and objectives that I've been talking about. But how we deal with them then becomes an important issue, especially in view of the limited time that we have on this earth. Now, you're probably thinking he's going to give us an inspired speech on how to use our time wisely. And in a sense, I am, but maybe not in the way that you think. Let me begin by describing three categories of thinking or relating to life that we human beings sometimes employ. I'll call it, where do you live? Where do you live? Do you live in the past, the present, or the future? If you're well balanced in your approach to life, you will live most of your time in the present. You'll use the present wisely. That is, you'll use each day properly and to its fullest. But unfortunately, many of us don't use today that way. Some of us live in the past, dwelling on times gone by, continually reliving old memories, both good and bad. Others, and I place myself in this category, tend to live in the future. We plan for the future, we work for the future, and we hope for the future. Now, that isn't all bad, and that isn't all wrong. We need to plan, we need to work, and we need to hope for the future. But what about today? What about this day that we live in? What about the real time that we have to use? The only real time. That precious time that God has given to us. That time that is so very short, even like a vapor. Do we use it wisely? And do we obtain the most from it? Or do we let it sometimes slip away, sometimes just slip away without noticing it? Do we let precious moments become lost, lost forever? Moments of special times and places with those close to us. Do we take the time in today to smell the roses? It had not really occurred to me that I was one of those who live in the future, in tomorrow, until my mom died this past summer. She died in our home. She died peacefully. She died where she wanted to. But as I watched her life slowly ebb away, I began to realize just how precious this life really is that God has given us. And especially how precious are the moments that we have to share with each other, with those that we love, those close to us. There never will be enough time in this life to do all of the things that we want to do. So to waste any of it would be a terrible loss, especially to waste it in dwelling on what might be or what could have been and not use it for today. Not use it for today. I got to spend quite a bit of time with my mom over the years, but now it still doesn't seem like enough. It still doesn't seem like enough time. Maybe God made it that way for us, brethren, so that we would look for a future time and a future place where we could spend all eternity with each other. And that, of course, in God's kingdom, in the world tomorrow, working side by side, teaching the rest of humanity about God's ways and His plan for them. In those last days of Mom's life, I also learned something else. I learned how wonderful it is just to be able to enjoy this life that God has given us, to enjoy such things as a beautiful sunrise or sunset. In times past, I've commented to my wife and my children and to others, "Did you see that beautiful sunset?" But I never really took the time to enjoy it to its fullest, to watch the beautiful colors that God has created for us in that, to watch them change, to watch them go from the pinks and the purples and the browns maybe and the oranges to a deeper color, to the violets and so forth. I really didn't enjoy it the way that I could have and that I could. How about a good meal? In the last few weeks of my mother's life, she could no longer taste food. Everything tasted odd to her. I learned through that I ought to take the time to enjoy the meals that I have. As I said, I tend to be one who looks for the future, looks to the future and planning. And meals became just something that was necessary. I didn't really take the time to enjoy them, especially to enjoy them with my family and my friends around me. To take the time to talk to my friends and to talk to my family. What about enjoying such things as walking in the woods by a sparkling stream and really savoring that moment and fixing it in my mind and in your minds, its beauty and the wonderfulness of it all? Or the beauty and aroma of flowers in the fields, taking the time to really enjoy them. Or looking at the animals in the wild and enjoying their habitat and how they interact with each other. How about just children at play, our wonderful children at play, watching them and enjoying them, and the children of the brethren? And how about even a peaceful sleep at night? In the last few days of my mother's life, she couldn't sleep. And she begged God for peaceful sleep. I take sleep for granted, and I suspect most of you do too. I suspect most of you do too. Wonderful sleep, that God-given gift to rest and to relax and to wake up invigorated the next morning. Well, all these things we may sometimes take for granted. But brethren, they're all precious gifts from God in a wonderful design that He has made for us in these human bodies on this earth. And there are things that we should be so very thankful for. So very thankful for, but too often we're not thankful until they're gone, until they're taken away from us. And then we think about them and begin to realize how precious they really are and how foolish it is to waste a golden opportunity to experience any one of them and to enjoy them, to enjoy them as God intends for us to enjoy them. Brethren, being here at the feast is one of those very special golden opportunities that we have to experience the good things of life that God has ordained for us. To have the fellowship and the camaraderie here, of being together as God's people, and to drink in deeply of the spiritual food that He has prepared for us. These activities will make grand memories, memories which will last and which will benefit us forever. It is indeed a time to really savor here at the feast and to enjoy and to appreciate all that God has made for us and given to us, and to appreciate it and to enjoy it to the very fullest. King Solomon of ancient Israel was a man to whom God gave special wisdom and understanding, and he wrote much about how we should view life and appreciate it. His overall conclusion, as we know, was that men should learn to fear God and keep His commandments. But King Solomon also had much to say about how to appreciate and enjoy the gift of life itself. Enjoying life and obeying God go hand in hand. We really can't have the one without the other. And this Feast of Tabernacles is a time for us to envision what it will be like in the world tomorrow under God's government. But brethren, it's also a time to reflect on our own lives now and to measure our growth in learning God's ways of living and acting and thinking. Since King Solomon had much to say on this matter, it was Jewish tradition to read the book of Ecclesiastes during the feast and to learn from it. In the first few chapters of the book, King Solomon describes his frustrations in trying to find happiness and contentment through striving to satisfy physical desires without first understanding the need for spiritual guidance and spiritual involvement. In the middle of the book, he gives some wise commentary on learning to appreciate life. And in the last few chapters, he ties it all together into a complete package. He ties it together into a complete package when he says, "Obey God and learn to appreciate all that He has given us." Let's read some of these wise words of King Solomon. Ecclesiastes. Let's begin in the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of Ecclesiastes. In verse 18, King Solomon says this. He says, "Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all of his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage or his portion." It is a gift of God. In verse 19, he says, "As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." It doesn't really matter how much we might have or how little we might have. God has given us life, and we need to learn to enjoy it and to enjoy all that He has given us in whatever state we might find ourselves. And in verse 20, King Solomon says, "For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life." He will not wonder how many days he has. He will look for each day and to each day and enjoy each day that God gives him to the fullest, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart because of the blessings that God gives him. Over in chapter 9, Solomon continues with these thoughts. Chapter 9, verse 7, he says, "Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your words. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil." Solomon begins to talk about being righteous and holy and right before God and do good works, and God will accept them. Verse 9, "Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which she has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun." And then he says this, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Yes, this life will end, and it will end to us all too soon. So do what God has given you and be thankful for all of the things that he allows you to do, and do them to the very best of your ability, and you will find joy and the happiness that God intends. And of course, Solomon concludes the matter over in chapter 12. In verse 13, he says this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I think we might say this of this verse. Learn to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole reason for living. This is the whole reason for living. Learn to appreciate what God has given us and use it to the very fullest. And then he gives us a warning in verse 14, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." God will notice, brethren, whether we really appreciate what he has given us. God intends for all humanity to eventually learn to obey him, and that's for their own good, because that's the only way humanity will ever find true happiness. Right now, we as God's people are learning to obey God, and we are also learning to appreciate the benefits of that obedience. And that includes taking the time to enjoy what God has prepared for us here, stopping long enough to smell the roses. It's certainly wise and prudent to plan and work and hope for the future. It's also wise to learn from the past. But when we live, brethren, let's live in the present. Today is the time that we really have to spend. Let's spend it wisely, for it passes by all so quickly. Let's cherish the precious moments that we have together and not neglect the wonderful opportunities to be with our loved ones, our families, and our friends, both our physical families and our spiritual families. And brethren, let's take this happiness and joy that we have here at the feast back home with us. Just share it with the others around us, our families and our friends, all year long. Let's strive diligently to obey God and to show him that we appreciate and truly enjoy this precious gift of life that he has given us. And brethren, be sure to live in today, for it is the only true time that we really have. This was the last lesson. The last lesson my dear mother taught to me. Thanks, Mom. Someday I'll be able to tell her that, and I look forward to that, as all of you do. Let's live in today, brethren, and really enjoy this life that God has given us.